Fall in a hole? Bitten by a rattlesnake? Bear attack? Paper cut? Getting lost in your own house?
Where am I?
Now, the Revolution's own resident survival guru, Tim McWelsh, has the knowledge and advice to help you survive anything.
Hey, you're back in the air with you and Trav. Phone lines are open at 785-846-7647. Trav, I'm a prepper, and I think you know that, and I've got probably the best book in the world if you're a prepper or thinking about being one.
This is whether you are a doomsday prepper or you're just scared of politics.
I'm scared of the dark.
Or if you like a good read and you're just a smart person, you got to pick up How to Survive Off the Grid. It is by our best friend, Mr. Tim McWelsh. He is a New York Times best-selling author of Prepare for Anything. Mr. Tim, we love you. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
I love you, Jim and Trav. Great to be back.
Dude, once again, home run, this new book, How to Survive Off the Grid. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you. You humble me. You humble me, gentlemen.
Well, I think that was almost kind of facetious there. All right, so let's talk about a few things in the book. You're out promoting the book currently. This is really is a great read, super fantastic. But you literally have everything in here. And this isn't just like if the world goes south, how to survive. This is actual common knowledge that we need to know as people living in society today.
Kind of like what our ancestors knew.
Exactly. I mean, this is just common sense practices.
It is. It's a book about all the different things that a person would need to take care of themselves, take care of their family off the grid. You know, if there is no electricity, if there is no municipal water supply, maybe there aren't even communications. How do we take care of ourselves? How do we feed our little ones? How do we do what our ancestors did? And you know, this book was largely inspired by my parents. So they had me very late in life, and I'm no spring chicken anymore myself. And so my dad actually grew up during the Great Depression, and they remember very well. My dad and his siblings remember going to check the rabbit traps every morning before they went to school. And that was the only meat source that they had. If there was meat on the table, it's because the children had caught a rabbit that day. And, you know, they cooked from scratch. They had a big garden. They canned their food. And they tried to grow as much food as they could every summer so that they could can it, dry it, salt it, preserve it, and make it last through the winter into the spring and hopefully even, you know, a little bit into the next summer until they were growing food again. And that's such an ancient rhythm. You know, that was the pulse of humanity for thousands of years. You would try to grow as much food as you could during the growing season, and then you would preserve it as carefully as possible because that's your Walmart for the next 9 months. You know, you were your own food producer and food storehouse.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I realized when I read the book is, you know, most people, and I have to say most people, live in that urban, suburban lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Where they don't have a lot of land, but you're saying that you can grow enough in a regular lot of any subdivision to be able to sustain your family for a time, right?
Yeah, Jimbo, even on a small lot, even on like a little postage stamp lot, you can grow food, and it can be plant food if you're legally allowed to grow raise animals there. You could have some animal foods, and even if, you know, maybe backyard chickens are frowned on in your county, nothing's stopping you from growing other types of food. You know, we've grown fish in tanks before and had wonderful results. We had a big catfish tank years ago, and it was just a massive tank. And we grew 500 catfish.
Wow.
Holy cow, really?
And then we processed them all after they'd grown for a year and just had catfish in the freezer just for months and months and months and months. And it was so good. They were so clean and just had such a nice taste. But even right now, you know, just as a project with my kids, we're growing a worm farm in the kitchen.
Really?
So if we have any kitchen scraps that don't seem chicken worthy to feed our chickens, then they go into the worm box, and there's no stink and there's no noise, and we don't have to worry about, you know, forgetting about them for a couple of days. They just do their worm stuff in that bin of dirt. And, you know, these little types of, you know, small steps, small steps towards independence.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that that I think we will find out if something like this does happen, you know, oftentimes when something starts, you know, meat starts to turn a little brown, it is still good. If it has a little bit of an odor, you know, you can use vinegar to be able to purify it, if you will, to be able to use it. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Vinegar is one of those weird preservative agents, and the acidity of it is one of the things that discourages bacterial growth. And this is why some traditional cultures would put vinegar in their recipes to dry meat. So if for example, you're making jerky, you could mix a little salt and a little vinegar together and soak the meat in there for maybe an hour or so, and then hang it up to smoke or hang it up to dry. And not only does it taste great, but it's one extra step towards preserving that food. You know, the vinegar's going to keep bacteria at bay, and the salt is going to keep it down as well. The smoke also acts as a preservative because of the wood alcohols coming up in the smoke. And there's so many things at play for the proper preservation of that meat, that jerky. And the ultimate win for us, you know, I mean, it's a win-win across the board, but I think the best win is how these traditional foods taste. You know, like a really spicy, salty, sweet jerky. You guys are making my mouth water. I haven't had much to eat today. So I apologize if I drool on the phone here and then you hear bubbling. But, you know, like a traditional biltong, like African jerky recipe with vinegar in there.
Yeah.
Spices. Amazing. So good. And my book tells you how to make that and so much more.
Okay, so How to Survive Off the Grid by Mr. Tim McWelch. First of all, before we go on with this, Mr. Tim, where can we find this awesome book online to buy, dude?
Well, any place that fine survival books are sold.
Just hop on Google. Just Google How to Survive Off the Grid.
I'm sure Amazon and
Barnes
and Noble.
Yeah, just have a drone deliver it to you before the grid crashes, and you'll be fine.
I was looking at you have everything from building a log cabin to generators to how long food can last on shelves.
Or how close you can have a latrine to your water supply.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing everything you have put in this book. I like how you described it during the break. It is like a brick, but it is a brick of useful information.
It's the brick of stuff that our grandparents and great-grandparents did as their daily life. This is, it's a roadmap. In my mind, this is a roadmap back to a simpler time. Yeah, there's a lot of labor, okay? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not push button. We're so used to the push button lifestyle in today's times. And this is not that. It's hard work going out and breaking new soil and putting in a garden. It's backbreaking. It's hard work going out there and chopping all your own firewood. You know, I know your listeners know this. I know they know how much work it is to sustain yourself working with nature and sometimes working against nature. But think about the end of the day when you've got a pile of firewood chopped or you've got a beautiful garden planted. And think about how good you feel. You've not only taken care of yourself, but you've taken care of your loved ones. And you've done it in a way that your ancestors would have understood.
I think part of the problem, you know, we have this entitlement attitude and everybody's so freaking lazy anymore. But it's because, like you said, we live off of a push button society. Everything is given to us. And let's face it, you don't appreciate things unless you have worked hard for them yourselves. It's like a kid. You give a 17-year-old kid a brand new car. They're not going to appreciate it nearly as much as if they would have went out and worked hard and bought
a motor and a frame and put it together.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you're saying here. At the end of the day, it is backbreaking work, but it is worth the reward in the end.
Yeah, and there's two different points I want to make with this book, too. And you've touched on one of them, and that is choosing to have a more fulfilling lifestyle.
Yeah.
So we wrote How to Survive Off the Grid. We wrote about 70% of it with the lifestyle in mind.
You know,
this is somebody who chooses to live off the grid. This is somebody who makes a decision. You know what? I'm done with the rat race. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go live in a cabin and, you know, create a farm and, you know, just create my own homestead just like my ancestors did.
Yeah.
So 2/3 of this book is for the people that want to go off the grid. But we had a sobering responsibility putting this information together. The publishers and my other editors at Outdoor Life magazine, we wanted to build a book that could also work in case the grid went down. So if someone is experiencing a power outage, if they're experiencing, you know, a cessation of the water flowing out of their faucet, you know, if there's some kind of problem, and that could come from a natural disaster, it could come from a man-made disaster. Whatever the reason, if they don't have the luxuries that the grid provides, then this book is their roadmap to take care of their basic needs.
You bet. Hey, we've been talking with Tim McWelch, and of course, C.S. Brooke, a brand new book called How to Survive Off the Grid.
That's right. Hop online. Just Google it. Also, go to outdoorlife.com. You will find it there. But to find out more about Tim, possibly participate in one of his survival classes in person, go to advancedsurvivaltraining.com. What's that, Jimbo?
Get your doctorate.
That's right. He is also Outdoor Life's resident survival blogger. That's outdoorlife.com/survival. And he also teaches a survival class online, outdoorlifeu.com. One more time. Yeah, that was pretty cool. How to Survive Off the Grid, brand new book by Mr. Tim McWelch. Also find him on jimandtrav.com. You can hear all of his audio interviews there.
Plus, got a lot of other books too.
Lots of books. Mr. Tim, it has been so awesome having you on. Love your new book, buddy.
Thank you guys so much. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And remember, kids, only you can prevent death from stupid stuff that you decided to do or not do that, you know, you should have, like, maybe read a book and learned how to do.
Stay tuned. The Revolution with Jim and Trav will continue right after these words from our sponsors.